that the records show that Terry is absent, Art is absent, and Liz is absent. I didn't hear from Art or Liz. I did hear from Terry. He said he won't. Anyone here for public comment? I think so. Purchasing approvals are going around. Standing reports. Steve, you're up.
Okay. Well, I just have my month report again. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Oh, I missed that. Okay. Any questions for Steve? We got backtracking, man. I missed the... has everybody had a chance to review the minutes from last month's meeting?
So moved.
Have a motion to accept. Second?
Second.
Second, Jamie. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Okay, Judy, you're up.
Okay. Nothing really new to report. The state's budget process has started, and the Supreme Court's budget is in the Appropriations Committee. And Chief Justice Garmon has asked for full funding for probation, and of course chances of that happening are probably zero because for decades we haven't been funded at 100%. So, you know, it's a long process, so we'll wait to see what happens. Our hope is that they don't cut anything, that we get at least the amount that the state received last year. So I'll keep you updated as we go through the process. Other than that, that's about it, unless anybody's got any questions or...
Question for you. You just need longer fingers so when you cross them, they
might make a difference. We start doing that this time of year, every year.
Okay, thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Mr. Bonnard.
We, I'm really happy to report, actually. I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but this really is a huge project of moving the circuit clerk's network and merging it with the county's network. There are over 230 computers on the circuit court's network. In order to drop the firewall and become one network, we had to take all those 230 computers and bring them up to Madison County standards. So in some cases, and when I say Madison County standards, the Madison County way is known as for its reliability and for its security. Because the county's network deals with the sheriff's department, they have standards that they have to meet, very strict standards that they have to meet for the criminal history and that. And then the health department, very strict standards in terms of security for the health records. So this is a great thing that we're moving our computers over and meeting up with those standards. It's actually picking it up a notch. But it required us to engage in this really large project for each one of those computers, getting rid of Windows XP, upgrading it to Windows 7, of course. As you know, Microsoft isn't supporting Windows XP. We had to spend money to actually change some of the backbone stuff that's in back in the closet, the techie stuff. But it was an expensive project, and it all had to be done. We have accomplished that. The personnel, the team that does the work with the team that does the work on our network has physically moved, and they're housed in the IT department. So why is this important? Why does this make a difference? Well, that sharing of resources, sharing of experience is so important. It's a plus. It's a plus because our people bring stuff to the table in terms of knowing about the court management system and that actually enhances IT department. Of course, the IT department has years and years of great expertise and experience that enhances us. So when we do fulfill our integration work with the state's attorney's office, with the probation department, the computers will all be able to seamlessly share information and talk to each other. Doesn't sound like it should be it's a no-brainer in the 21st century, but we are actually, finally getting there after a year of moving it. On the project with the records, we have moved into the second phase. We've already scanned 5 million images and got rid of those files. That's 2005. All these files, they've been scanned, they're in a system, and actually been destroyed. And I would love to take you out to the Record Center. I'm really quite proud, because what was once a horrible mess is now starting to look orderly. And
it's just a mess right now. It's not a horrible mess.
It's not a horrible mess. It's no, I mean, when I arrived, the sheriff was ready to wring my neck because his Sally Port down there was stacked with boxes of dead files that needed to go out to the Record Center, but there's no place in the Record Center to put them. So both sides were stacked, and all the way along the hallway it was stacked. It was actually something that I found shocking, and that's why it was a big priority. On the surface, when people look at it, they don't see a lot, but the fact of the matter is that getting rid of this stuff has been significant accomplishment for the people in my office, and the sheriff's happy that he's got a Sally Port back now. It's clean, and it functions now the way it's supposed to, which is providing security for getting into the courthouse and out of the courthouse. So we're moving along with that. One of the other things that I found that is being addressed is the evidence vault. Again, we have evidence in there that goes back to the 70s. Kind of surprising. But it's taken us a while. We've been working with the state's attorney's office, and they've been very, very helpful. We've been working with the sheriff's department on figuring out what we can get out of the evidence vault, destroy, what we can get, what we can put back in a manner in which things can be easily retrieved. And, once things gain critical mass, it just like, it really does. It looks like an episode of Hoarders. Once it gets critical mass, you lose track of stuff. You can't find what it is that you need. Well, we're holding it for a reason. We've got it, we've got stuff for murder trials, and we have to keep those murder trials forever. I mean, one of the things is that we actually have two different opinions. One opinion from the Attorney General, one opinion from the Supreme Court, on whether or not we need to keep evidence on Lloyd Wayne Hampton. You might remember that name, Sheriff Lloyd Wayne Hampton. You put him on the death row, and he was actually executed back when I was at the state's attorney's office. Tell you how long ago that was. But we still have evidence.
Why would why do you keep evidence? Why wouldn't it go back to the police agency?
Once it's been put in evidence as in a trial as part of the court record, and in some cases for the in cases of the appeals, the appellate court will want it, and we have it to be retrieved. Now, here, let's just throw this out here, and I know that Lloyd Wayne Hampton might not be the best example, but even when on a murder case, even when somebody has been convicted and sentenced to life, and it's gone through appeals, years later, DNA evidence or whatever they want to retrieve, and they actually find out that evidence that we had may come in handy for an open case that has been closed for a long time. So, you can't just destroy evidence. You have to have it in an orderly manner, some place that you can retrieve, and maintain the chain of custody. So the Sheriff's Department has been particularly helpful in talking about how we can get rid of drugs and guns that we have in the evidence vault. They have been very, very helpful in helping us to have a chain of custody and have a means of disposing of that. So that's probably the biggest challenge that I've got coming up in the next few months. But what I hope to do is take you over on a tour of the evidence locker and proudly show it to you instead of steer you away from it next time. Every time I give you a tour. But I'm always willing to give you a tour of the courthouse because, again, don't forget about us. It's still, there are some health and safety concerns over there that we'd like you to keep in mind when you are doing future planning as far as buildings. And so I'm going to leave it at that.
Do you have an evidence officer?
We do have a supervisor that's an evidence person.
And then do you do audit, annual audits or anything on what's in there?
We do not. That's a good idea. You know, I mean, we've done an annual audit because I've been there 1 year, and that's, that was one of the first things, the first steps here is getting a real listing of what we had in there and what cases they went to so that we can actually get a realistic idea of what can go and what can stay. So, and we're in the process of getting court orders. We're getting individual court orders in order to, you know, we don't destroy anything on our own. It has to be ordered by the court first, and it'll be part of the permanent record to get rid of it. And it's not just a blanket order. It's an order in each case when we're going to get rid of something. So we've done an audit.
So you're going to plan on ongoing? They're going to be ongoing.
We're revising our procedures. Actually, I made contact with the state police crime lab, and they are going to help us. They're going to help us too in looking over our procedures for chain of custody, going from court into the locker, coming out of the locker, going to wherever it is. It's law enforcement, and you're familiar with that. It's a big deal. There's no breaks. We can never have a break in a chain. So,
what do you do with like knives and guns and like glass that have fingerprints from old cases? Do you keep those, or do you just take the picture? This is me watching CSI like this happens. Or do you just take pictures and put those into?
We actually have physical custody of quite a few guns.
How long do you usually? Well, what about like glass, or you know, you see where somebody picks up a glass and that's used as evidence? How long would you have to keep something like that?
Until there's no threat, no chance that there's going to be an appeal on it. So,
where is that stored?
In our evidence locker. We actually have two evidence lockers. We have one at the CJC, and then we have one in the in the courthouse. At some point, I may look at revising that even completely and taking advantage of the space that we open up at the record center. Because again, I think it could be held better. There are standards and there are best practices, and we're reviewing the standards, making sure the administrative office does do inspections, and we do meet minimally the standards, but we certainly are not. We've got room to go in the best practices.
Has your office ever been challenged on the chain of custody?
Not in the year that I've been here. I will tell you this, is that I do remember way back in the early 90s, somebody broke into the evidence locker and stole some guns. Sheriff's Office solved that case pretty quickly. I don't remember who the head of the detectives was at the time, but some guy that was like a bulldog that wouldn't let go.
Was you? It was sure, yeah, I'm sure.
It was. It was.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, a few months ago we passed a thing for the child advocacy program, and we start putting money into funds. Do you know if the money started trickling in yet?
Yes. Yes, but I don't have a number. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared. expect to.
Okay. Yeah, I know I caught you off guard. I was just wondering.
Next month I'll bring you.
Just curious if it started rolling.
I'll bring you an accounting of all the different funds.
Okay.
That's probably a good idea for you guys to have.
Sorry, Sheriff, you used up all your time.
Don't worry.
Sheriff Hertz?
You have the monthly report from the jail. We're down 62 this year versus last year, so things are moving right along there. You have a purchasing request from the sheriff's office, and I'll give you the 5-second version on that. Charter, at no charge, used to provide the antenna service for the jail at no cost. They stopped doing that. The television system for the inmates needs an antenna system, so we worked with Kurt in Buildings and Lands. Phone Masters came in, put in a basic antenna service so the prisoners can watch their TVs at the cost that will be borne by the prisoners themselves through their commissary fund. So that's what that is. We found it more useful to let them watch their own TVs and keep them occupied instead of fighting amongst each other. That's what that's for. With that, that's all I have.
Okay. Any questions, Sheriff Burns? Here.
We've had our kickback day this past weekend in the county parking lot. We estimated about 50 or so pounds. We haven't got an official weight or anything from the DEA, so again, another good program. I have more handouts for you guys. When we do this program, we always give a list of a home medicine inventory card. We give that to the people who are coming by. But what we like on it is we list all the permanent sites. So if kickback day isn't occurring that weekend, we do them twice a year. A person can go and take their medications too. It's usually a police department. The sheriff's department has one 24/7. So you want to tell your constituents if they ever want to drop off their meds in a permanent site, they're listed on that site. When we first started doing this, there were only a couple, and so now we're up to 9. I've heard Granite City wants to get one too, so that'll be 10. So we'll have to do it in Carson. So there's the list of all the permanent sites. And then we're also working at trying to set up our next heroin task force meeting. We're working on getting a doctor in there to speak. As you've heard us talk about the prescription med links to heroin abuse, that would be something that we're really trying to get. So we've reached out. We've got someone. Now it's going to be scheduling, trying to get that. So we'll let you know as soon as we get that scheduled.
Any questions? Let's go back to the purchasing approvals. I'll entertain a motion for this, for the bills to be paid.
Second.
Gussie?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And I say yes. And for the purchase of the antenna for the jail. Gussie's got a second?
Second.
Jamie? Gussie?
Yes.
Jamie?
Mike?
And I say yes. New business. Whole business. Adjourned, money. Second. All in favor?
Aye. There was a bill and someone never says you.